Welcome, everybody, to the Heart of Christ Church. God bless you and may he keep you, because here at this church, we know God is good.
All the time.
Today, we are looking at a new word, the Word of God in our lives, and just exactly who he is and where he's going. And today, we're looking at appreciation. I'd like you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians. We're going to be in Philippians in the second chapter. I'm looking for my bulletin. I have no idea where I put my bulletin. That's terrible. I've got a little platform up here, and I lost my bulletin. Oh, I found it. It's under my sermon. Life in Christ is life lived with appreciation is a sermon tale. That's terrible. I couldn't remember the name of my sermon because I didn't write it on my sermon notes. Anyhow, just goes to show that I need to live with a lot of appreciation because God has to appreciate me for all my failings. Well, not really, but I pray that he does. So in the book of Philippians, that's where we're turning today. We're going to be in chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Many of us know this scripture, and it's a wonderful scripture. But we're going to be reading quite a bit of it because we're taking this all the way to verse 15. Okay? And this is the Apostle Paul is talking to the people here, and I want us to hear his words and to understand them. So let us go before the Lord and ask him to put understanding in our hearts. Father God, as we come to you in this word, we ask that you would move as only you can. Because, Lord God, we know you have the words of life. You are the only one who has the words of life. They are the words of truth, and they are the words of the way. So, Lord, we ask that you would apply that way, that truth, and that life to our lives as we open your word to seek you out and to move therein. We thank you, Father, that you have given us your word, that by it we may find direction, peace, hope, understanding, and all other things concerning life. May we apportion well what we read and what we hear, that it may be attributed to us as thus has said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. May it be so in our lives in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. From verse 1 in the second chapter, we read these words. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Blessed be the reading of the Word of God this day. Amen. I want you to think about everything we just read there. Okay? Because appreciation does not take life for granted, but is grateful for it. As we look at this word that we have been given here, I am grateful that Jesus did not consider himself equal with God, but became a man on our behalf. That then in his death and coming back to his deity, he raised from the dead and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Because something was missing. What was it? Us. He wanted us to be where he was. So we need to live a life of appreciation. God appreciates us so much. I want you to think about this. We are but dust, and he brought us to life. And God has said to you, he has said to me, that I love you so much, I'm going to ask my son to go and die on a cross for you. And I love the idea that God appreciates you. He appreciates me. How do I know that? Because he knows your name. He has called you by name. And he wants to work with you unto eternity. Because he says to us in the Old Testament, I would that every man turn from evil and be saved. Jesus, when he was outside the city of Jerusalem, wept. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you knew. Because men want what men want. And unfortunately, we want our sin. So when we come to a place of understanding what God did for us and what he has set us free from, it's not hard to see that a life of to live a true life, a life that is filled with goodness and the good things that only God can bring to us, it has to be a life of appreciation. Appreciation. I think this is amazing. What are other synonyms for the word appreciation? How about gratefulness? Are you grateful for the things that are in your life? You know, I look back in my life and I think to myself, do I appreciate the hard things that have come into my life? Do I appreciate, am I grateful for the hard things that have been in my life? The things that I wish never would have happened? Well, I'm going to suggest to you right now, not that God put them in your life, but God can use them. Would you agree with that? I think that's Romans, 8 and 28. And we know, and that's a hint for all of you people out there who understand that, and we know, because there are some things that we need to know. And God wants us to appreciate his truth and who he is and what he is doing. Today, I want you to think about that very reality because it's gratitude. How about thankfulness? Is that a synonym for appreciation? How many of you are thankful for the things that you have? And how many of you are thankful for the things that you don't have? Amen. Amen. Thank you for my health. Thank you that I'm 58 and not 59 yet. It's coming. And I want it to slow down, slow this clock down. Let's pull this ride back a click or two, right? We need to be thankful. We need to be grateful. We need to appreciate. Because it's in that that we are going to find happiness. You don't find happiness in discouragement. Okay? How many people run after things that they will never attain? And they're happy because they can't get to it. We're not. And yet, isn't that what the world teaches us? Clamor after these things. Clamor after these things. Clamor after. Why? Because they know it's a goal that we'll never attain, and it will keep us occupied, and we won't really be worried about what's actually happening in our world. Does that sound familiar? But when we live a life of appreciation, appreciating what we have, look at the freedoms that we have living here in the United States. And believe me, they're trying to take them away. Okay, I was going to wear my shirt again today, Miss Jen. I really was. I was going to wear my shirt again today. And I thought, nope, I wore it 2 weeks ago. I got to wait a little bit of time. Because I'm going to tell you right now, they do want to take away so much because we don't appreciate it. They have us so distracted running after everything else. And when I say they, I'm talking the powers that be. I'm talking not flesh and blood, but the powers and principalities have us running after our tail, have us running after all this other stuff. And when I say we, I'm not necessarily talking about you sitting here or you are out there watching. I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about society. I'm talking about humanity. All right? When we take the big picture, how many people in this world are running after more money, more stuff, more? But I want us to think about what is real. I want you to turn, if you would, because I have to take you to what is real. Because we are getting ready to make an adventure in this church. We are getting ready, and for those of you who are out there, it's the first time you'll hear it. We are beginning a conversation with another church. That we would become one church coming together. This church has existed and we are doing well. There's another church here. They have existed and they're doing okay. But if the two of us would come together, we could make something great and affect the kingdom in a much greater way. And it's not about my kingdom or their kingdom. It's Christ's kingdom. And the body of Christ has to understand we need to come together to make it work. They want to keep us divided, they being the powers that be. But what does God say we're supposed to do? Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 12. We're going to begin verse 29. Because I want us to understand, God gave us these verses that I'm about to read when we began as a church. Because it is the focus of the church. It is the mission of the church. These are the commands that Jesus gave us. And if we are to live a life of appreciation, if we are to live true life in Christ, if we are going to experience life in Christ, we must live our lives in appreciation. Because it's the only way we will be able to do these two commands. I want you to understand that. What are the two commands? Jesus was asked. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, he asked, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Jesus gave three commands to the church. Here are the first two. The foremost is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." And the second is this, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." These two commands that God has given us, if we are to look at each and every one of them and take them to the place where we need to take them, if we are going to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength, we have got to appreciate everything he has done, everything that he has allowed us to live through, everything that has made us what we are right now. Because we would not be in Christ, we would not be headed for glory if it were not for those things. Because I'm going to tell you right now, all those things in your life, and I'm talking to you out there on whichever camera they're looking at me with. I'm telling each and every one of you, even the negative things in your life that happened to you happened because you made them happen, but God will use them to your good. Can I get an amen? Because God wants us to learn. We are not God. And when we will finally appreciate who He is and live in accordance with His word, we will find peace. We think we can make peace. You know, I think it's funny because when I have young couples that I'm bringing into marriage counseling, or even couples who've been married once or twice, you know, because that does happen in the church today, one of the things that I try and teach them is, please remember, when you are standing at the altar, you do not say, yes, redo. You say, yes, I do. Okay? Which means you accept the person as they are. You aren't going to try and remake them. You're not going to try and change them. Because if that's what you're going to try and do, go find somebody else. Because it's not going to happen. But there is one who can change you and change me. But we have to give ourselves to Him and appreciate who He is and what He has done. He is the great transformer. He is Jesus Christ our Lord. Because when we love Him with all our heart, when we love Him with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength, and I know I got them out of order. I don't think it matters what order you put them in, but that you get them in you. God will transform you to a being that not only appreciates Him, but experiences life. Life to the abundant. Isn't that what Jesus said He came to give us? To give us life and life abundantly? God wants us to live to the full, to know the full measure of Him. Now, that leads me to my second point. Now, first, before I go there, I got to say this. Because not only in loving God do we need to be appreciative, but we need to love others, right? Isn't that what it says? We need to love others, which means I have to appreciate each and every one of you. Now, I hate to tell you all this, but none of you can do what I can do as good as I can do it. How many people have that air about themselves? Think about it, okay? People constantly, well, I can do this better than they can, so then they just rush headlong into it. Guess what? I want you to do it. Because that means I have less that I have to do. And I trust you to do it. I appreciate you. God made you the way you are to be you. And I need that. He needs that. If He didn't need that, He wouldn't have made you. And He made you. So He must need that. Do you see my circular reasoning? And we need each other because it is the fullness of the body. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm thinking about there's a whole other church over here 5 miles away. About 5 miles, isn't it, guys? Something like that. Less? Whatever it is, that when the two of us come together, if we come together, and these are things that have to be worked out, amen, we need to love them. We need to appreciate them for who they are. And we need them to appreciate us for who we are. I can't expect them to become us and us to become them. But we need to allow God to become in us and through us what He wants us to be. And that is living in appreciation. They're going to be different than we are. That's cool. Are we okay with different? Have any of you actually looked at each other lately? We are different. So we need that diversity, amen? And that's what we need to appreciate is the fact that we are all different. We all have different gifts, different combinations of gifts, different personalities. You know, how many of you have ever taken the DISC personality type, okay? Yeah. We have all these different personality types out there, okay? And it's amazing because God can change some of those personality types. I've watched Him do it over time. I've seen people who were high I's and high S's all of a sudden, you know, become D's. And it's like, whoa, how did He do that? because I'll guarantee you that is not something that a high eye is going to become, okay? But it's amazing when you watch God do this stuff, and because God knows intrinsically who we are once we get out of our shell, once we are transformed, and we begin to appreciate each other and the things of life. And then we are to what? Go. That's the third command that God gave us. Love God, love others, and go. We know that as a church. And that means we need to appreciate the lost. That we understand where they are, because at one point in time we were there. Amen? And each and every one of you out there, that's why we put this out. That message goes out to reach to you. For those who are saved, to encourage you. But to those who are lost, to bring you into the household of faith. And we love you, and we need you to know that right now. And we thank God that you're here. And for each and every one of you that is here, it calls us to go. We need to go where? We need to go into our community, okay? How much more effective a body would we be if we all had one vision, okay? One vision. What's our vision at this church? What's our mission? Starts with our mission. What's our mission? I just gave it to you. Yep. Our head deacon, spit it out. Love God, love others, and go. That is our mission. How do we achieve that? By transforming lives to the heart of Jesus Christ. That's how we achieve it. Okay? That's our vision. Transforming lives to the heart of Jesus Christ. That means we use worship. We use evangelism. We use one-on-one praying with people. Whatever we need to do, it's appreciating the value of each and every person, all the gifts that you have. Do you understand how this all comes together? It is living a life of appreciation unto God for the salvation He has wrought unto us, to give it away to other people who do not have it. And we need to appreciate them because God has appreciated them, and He has sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary for them. Are we going to be ones who are there, or are we going to buy into the world system and think that there's more stuff because this is how we get happy in life? Is that how it happens? No. Life, true life, abundant life comes from living in a reality that it is a life of appreciation. It is a life given away that gains all the value of eternity. And I'm going to walk you there today. Because the next thing I want us to understand is a very reality that the world keeps putting out to us, and we have got to get our minds out of this thing. And that is, satisfaction in life is not dependent upon substance. Okay? There are so many people that their act of appreciation is appreciation for the things that they can buy and the things that they can own. I want you to think about that. You know, how many of us live in a house that's so clustered with stuff? If you could only see the things I see standing up front here. It's fun. I love being the pastor because you get touched by the power of the word, because God speaks, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know. I love it when I see faces go red. I love it when I see a person and I see them internally struggling with a message, because it's not me. Don't holler at the messenger. All right? Talk to the one who is able, and that is God. You got to remember, God is making you wrestle with who? You, not me. I'm not that smart. I'm not that good. I'd like to think I am, but I know I'm not. So when I think about this, I think about what is going on here. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, because God wants us to understand satisfaction is not dependent upon substance, and that is both physical and personal. And what do I mean by that? We're going to see, all right? Physical and personal. Luke. We are in chapter 12. And do a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you? You men of little faith, and do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seeks. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give that to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief come near nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And brothers and sisters, when we read this, Jesus is telling us here, he's looking at food and clothing, which is sustenance. All right, and we can take that to mean cars and houses and everything else, and that's the truth. All right, we can run it to that extent. We don't need to worry about that stuff. God knows we need that stuff, and God is going to take care of us if we will take care to God, if we will look to him and be appreciative of the things that we have. If you aren't appreciative of the things that you have and you're not taking care of what he has already given you, do you think he's going to give you better things? That's nonsensical. If we can't be trusted, doesn't the scripture say this, Marion? If we can't be trusted with the little things, how can he trust us with the earthly things? How can we be trusted with heavenly things? That's what God says. And I think it's so amazing because God puts things before us. Choose good, choose bad. Choose good, choose bad. How many of us choose good every time? Yeah, me neither. I wish I did. But I are stupid. There are times that I don't think. I react. And that's what gets us into trouble. Because we want what we want when we want it, and we don't want to think. Because we think we can reason our way through this thing, and we can work our way through this thing, and we can make it work the way we want. How's that working for you? Are you God? Nope. No, I'm not. And we need to understand that none of these things that we seek after, and this last part here where it tells us to seek the kingdom of God first, and then I think this is kind of neat because all the way down to the bottom, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How many of us seek after the things of this world, seek after people of this world, seek after, you know, whatever it is of this world, and we wonder why God doesn't bless it? Why? Because you're not seeking after God. If you do not live your life in appreciation of God, do you think God's going to give you the things of life that you really want? Because he knows you're going to use them for evil. I want you to think about this. I want you to look at our world out here. How many people out there in our world who are in and of the world are successful? They are, but they don't have anything to do with God. And I also want you to hear me say this, because if you remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Jesus was there and Satan said, I'll give you this, I'll give you this, I'll give you this, I'll give you this. Do you know he had the authority to give Jesus every one of the things that he said he was going to give to him? But let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. I just said that three times. That means listen three times harder. Jesus would never have come up out of that grave. Do you hear me? When he died, it would have been over and death would have been forever. And Satan knew it. And so did the Lord. And the Lord rebuked Satan three times with the word. And now he is up out of the grave. Death could not hold him. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he is judging things unto the day we get to come to him when he calls his church home and he says, it's now over, and I'm going to judge all things. That is our glory, folks. That is what living in Christ will do for us. These folks in here that are getting all their stuff now, remember, this is Satan's world. He can give it all to them, but guess what? There is nowhere that a U-Haul follows a hearse. You can't take it with you unless it's already there before you get there. And that only happens in Jesus Christ. That's what that word just said. We need to be appreciative of the things that God has given us, and we need to live in and of them. And if the things of this world look good, and they promise us something, and you know it's not of God, run from it and take your coat. I am so in love with this thought that to truly live life, we have to live in such appreciation of our God and what he has given us. I don't care how hard it is. And I'll tell you right now, he's taken me through some pretty hard stuff. I look back on our lives and I think to myself, you know, we had to go through that stuff to get this old boy on this stage. I think of losing five children. And I say, God is good. I think of 14 pulmonary emboli. Blood clots in my lungs. And I say, God is good. I think of 21 heart attacks in less than 3 minutes. And I say, God is good. And all the time. Because I was that ignorant, I needed all that stuff. Get me here. And right now, you may be going through some crap. Suck it up, cupcake, because you need it. Because you won't listen to him, you won't do what he says, and he loves you, and to those he loves, he disciplines. Have you ever read the book? And he's going to bring you through it. And when you come through it, you're going to look back and say, wow, Lord, I needed that. What was wrong with me? And he's going to say, well, we'll talk about that later. Because he's got so much more for you right now that those things will wait. We have eternity to work on that stuff. Because God does not let any of his children behind. He brings us through. And that leads me to my last piece. And I'm already over. Am I over, guys? I'm good? Okay. A person's real wealth consists in the condition of their mind and heart and makes for happiness. That condition depends on how thankful each of us are for what we have, not what we desire. When we read this last scripture here that I gave to us, when we are truly happy with what we have, you know, we don't need any more. And we are constantly hoping that God would bless us. But where we are, it's living in that appreciation and remembering that, you know, I hate to say this, but when I die, Russell gets all my stuff. You know, that's just the way it is. For you folks that have two kids, they got to divvy it up. So make it a mess for them, all right? How about it, Miss Leslie? I told my son, don't worry about it. There won't be nothing left. Because I want to use it to the best advantage. You know, God gave it to me to be a steward of it, not a thief, not a hoarder. He wants me to give it away. That's why I give so much of myself. Because what's the greatest thing I have? I'll guarantee you it ain't wealth, not money. But the greatest thing I have is me. The greatest thing you have is you. And when we give ourselves to others selflessly, isn't that what this is all talking about? That God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life, will be saved. Brothers and sisters, that's really what we're giving away. When we live a life of appreciation and we love God and we love others and we go, we're not giving away anything that belongs to us because it's all his. And I can be grateful because I know my daddy, he wants to give me more. The more I give away, the more he wants me to give me. Because in that, it's a cycle that never ends. But when I start pocketing it, guess what happens? The allowance starts to get smaller. Because where do you think the federal government gets that from? You see, the federal government understands that if you are allocated X amount of dollars and you don't appropriate it, next year, you don't get that much. I wonder where they got that from. There's nothing new under the sun, brothers and sisters. There's nothing new under the sun. God is God. We are not. Let us appreciate him. Let us live in him. And him live in us. And in that, we'll find peace. We'll find strength. And we'll find hope. If you are stuck in the middle of something right now that you really wish you wouldn't have started, it's okay. Turn it around. Start appreciating God for where you are. Remember, you asked to be there. In fact, you demanded it. But if you find yourself in a situation that you didn't ask for, be grateful that God's there with you. I look at folks in our congregation that have gone, I'm looking at Brian here and you know, and your sister. Boy, we need to pray for her too. You know, Miss Mick, Miss Root. You know, I want you all to think about it. Aren't you glad that God was there for you, is there for you? Because he's the only one that's going to bring you through whole and healthy. Believe me, some of us need to go through this stuff. Because in so doing, it purifies us, makes us whole and holy. Because we have a whole and holy God who wants us to be like him. Let us be the body of Christ that appreciates our Lord and receives life. Would you pray with me this day? Father God, I thank you for these wonderful folks. I thank you for this word because, Lord, as we go out from here, may we remember that it is truly the attitude of our minds and our hearts that will guide us and keep us. If our mind and our hearts are towards the things of this world, so too will our treasures be. And Lord, what a life that's going to be, because it'll be a life that ends with no reward. But if we seek first your kingdom and we love you for all that you are, in spite of what we aren't, we will then find that you will fill our hearts to overflowing, and you will build our family to growing beyond itself. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Son who paid the price of all our sins. Thank you for the life that is, through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now ours as we live in appreciation of all that you have done. In Christ Jesus. And the church says, amen. And amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.